In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Two young women drink champagne in the back of a taxi.
You know what Kelly's like? One little quirk in the spatter pattern and she'll stay until she's solved the old crime.
Yeah, but she left the lab an hour ago.
Oh, just use fine. For 2 minutes.
The dark-haired woman hands her bottle to her blonde friend. She walks up a garden path to the door of a terraced house. She slows as she reaches the front door, finding it ajar. She glances back towards the cab. Pushing the door open, the young woman steps into the dark hallway.
Kelly?
Concerned, she stalks cautiously along the gloomy corridor towards a dim light in the kitchen, her brows knit together in a look of puzzlement. Her features leap in shock as she peers around the kitchen door and flicks on the light. A young blonde woman lies bloodied on the floor. Pete crouches, examining the body in a blue socko suit. Sam's waiting as Ronnie walks into the hallway.
Kelly Mann worked in forensics. She was supposed to be on a night out with Chloe Abbott and Joy Ackroyd, who worked in the same department. Obviously, she never made it.
Ronnie walks into the kitchen, where a PC is with the young women.
Hi, Chloe. Hi, Joy. Hi, Pete. We were just talking this morning at the lab.
That's right, Sam. Take your time.
6 stab wounds, all in her chest.
Any sign of a weapon?
Yeah. Dishwasher was running when Chloe found her. This knife was in it.
Pete hands Ronnie a large knife in a bag.
So no chance of any prints on that, then?
All the buttons have been wiped clean, too.
Okay.
Kelly tried to stop him. Defensive wounds on both hands.
Sam crouches as Pete turns the victim's hands over to show her gashed palms.
Looks like she put up a good fight.
Yeah. Not good enough.
The London skyline. Law. Bradley Walsh as craggy-faced Senior Detective Sergeant Ronnie Brooks. Paul Nichols as boyishly handsome Junior Detective Sergeant Sam Casey. Harriet Walter as gaunt Detective Inspector Natalie Chandler. Order. Dominic Rowan as clean-cut Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Jake Thorne. Freema Aguino as elegant Junior Crown Prosecutor Alicia Phillips. And Peter Davison as heavy-featured Director of London Crown Prosecution Service Henry Sharp. Law & Order UK. This episode, Fault Lines. With Chloe.
You're just on a night out.
It was Teddy's birthday, so drinks at Zoo and then on to Belgos for food.
Only Kelly never showed.
She was finishing off some blood work. Everyone was getting hungry, so I called her about 8:30. She said she was nipping home in a cab to get changed.
Got any idea which cab firm she used?
Quick call cabs, we always use the same one. When the others left for Belgos, Joy and I went to see what was keeping her.
Do you know if anyone wanted to hurt Kelly at all?
Chloe shakes her head.
She have a boyfriend?
She was supposed to be getting married next month to Tom Hartson.
Quick cab's got to call around about 8:30 to pick up a Kelly from the lab and take her home. Driver reckons he dropped her at the house and went on to another pickup.
And you've checked that with his controller?
Yep. And the next pickup. All checks out.
Well, maybe he remembers seeing someone hanging around outside the flat.
Quick call cabs. April 3rd. A middle-aged cabbie.
I've dropped her off and watched her go in. And you do that a lot with your passengers, do you?
No.
But I've driven Kelly home before.
So you're on first name terms?
She's put the cab in her name, innit?
You see anything suspicious? Anyone outside her flat?
Nah, not that I recall.
And you went straight to your next pickup?
Yeah, in Bermondsey. It's all right.
Kelly Mann's dead.
You're joking?
No.
Okay, we might need to speak to you again.
The cabbie nods as he eyes them warily. Ronnie and Sam turn and walk away.
What do you reckon?
Well, should get Ange to run some background on him just in case. I reckon we should go and speak to Kelly Mann's fiancée.
Handsome Tom packs in his and Kelly's bedroom.
I was working late, ended up crashing in the office.
You do that often, do you? Sleep at work?
I know. We just got this big client. I was under pressure to get their accounts finished. That's where Kelly and I met. My firm did the accounts for the lab.
Kelly didn't mind you staying out all night.
If she would have ended up crashing at Chloe's, they're talking flowers and table plans both sides at the moment.
Someone can verify you staying at your works, can they?
No, I don't know. A security guard, maybe. How long till I can come back here, please?
Could be a week.
Kelly had her bag stolen. So if you have a list of contents maybe you know of, I don't know, purse, credit cards, that sort of stuff?
She had a debit card for a bank account, one for our joint savings account. We were saving for a deposit on a house. Her mates gave her a gift card at a hen party that was probably in her purse.
Okay. Do you know what a gift card was for?
Anne Summers. £100. They thought she could get something for our wedding.
At HQ.
No, it was a £100 gift card purchased last Monday from the Oxford Street branch, yeah.
The security guard at Tom Hartson's office reckon the place was empty when he locked up at 8:30.
So Tommy wasn't there?
No.
When? All right, listen, I need you to bell me as soon as that's used again. All right, cheers. Right, the gift card was used to purchase a red lace chemise, size 10, whatever that is.
A chemise is a short nightie, my son.
Something you want to tell me, Ron?
Yep, you've got to brush up on your French. First Mrs. Brooks wore a black lace chemise on our wedding night. She was a knockout as well.
You reckon our killer's on a promise?
Oh, Tommy boy's trying to throw us off the scent, make it look like a robbery.
Right, no activity on Kelly's bank card since the day before yesterday. But their joint savings account is another matter. So they both put £100 in every month, regular as clockwork, no withdrawals. Yet last Tuesday at 11 a.m, one of them comes into the building society and cleans the whole lot out.
Well, we checked her hours with her boss. Last Tuesday, Killer was at work all day. She didn't even take a lunch break.
Well, then, if it wasn't her, it must have been Mr. Hartson, the loving fiancé.
Why would he clean out the account before they even got married?
Chloe in the lab.
They had around Thursday lunchtime.
You got any idea why Tom would clear out their savings account?
Is that what he did?
And did they row a lot?
A bit, lately. Just put it down to pre-wedding nerves.
You thought there was more to it?
A week ago, Kelly got home to find the bedding had been changed. Sheet, duvet, the lot. Tom reckoned he'd spilled something over it.
So, Kelly thought he'd had company, yeah?
Well, Tom had never changed sheets in his life. I suggested she bring the sheet in.
For a test?
Yeah. She did bring the sheet in the day after, but as far as I know, she chickened out. I don't think she wanted to know the truth.
And where's the sheet now? Did she take it back, do you know?
No idea. It was in a locker.
Got it?
Yeah.
Sam jimmies Kelly's locker open.
Look like the perfect couple.
He eyes a photo of Kelly and Tom smiling.
Here we are.
Sam hands Ronnie a rolled white bedsheet in a plastic bag.
Till death do us part.
Of course the security guard didn't see me. I was asleep on the sofa. He wouldn't be able to see me from the door.
Are you sure that's where you were, Tom? You didn't go home instead? Get into an argument?
No.
But she was angry with you.
We were happy.
Didn't stop you playing away, though, did it?
I wouldn't. I loved her.
You loved her so much that you had to change the bedsheets before Kelly got home.
You know where that bedsheet is now, Tom? It's in our lab, being tested.
Now, what are they going to find, Tom? A loving fiancé or a cheating liar?
Tom's eyes dart to Ange, who steps into the interview room.
Good, what's the word?
Interview suspended at 9:50.
Ronnie and Sam join Chandler, who's watching Tom on the monitors.
Greenwich just called. A woman's been attacked outside her flat by the minicab driver who drove her home from work.
You think there's a link?
Victim's a temp at the forensic service lab where Kelly worked.
A fresh-faced young brunette.
I was working late, so I didn't want to risk the walk to the tube. And there's this minicab parked up right near where I work. He said he just dropped someone off.
Can you remember the name of the cab company?
No, I'm sorry.
He took you back to your place, yeah?
Well, I was halfway down the steps to my flat before I realised that he was behind me. And next thing I knew, he had me pinned up against the wall.
It's okay. Take your time.
He said he had a knife. And if I didn't do what he wanted, he'd kill me. And he told me to open the door, and...
Lucy screws her eyes shut.
I was so scared I couldn't find my keys, so...
You're doing really well, Lucy.
He got really angry, and he ripped the back of my dress with the knife. And he started touching me. This car horn started beeping. And he He just grabbed my bag and ran off. And I heard the cab pull away.
Can you describe the cab?
Lucy shakes her head.
It was green, I think. Maybe blue.
And do you see his face?
Only for a second or two.
Anything else you can remember at all? Something sticks in your mind?
We had these trainers on. They were white with a blue stripe. But one of them had orange paint on, splashed on the toe. It was on the right foot.
Okay. You've done really well. Thank you, Lucy.
Right, if you'll excuse us.
Ronnie stops by the door as Sam joins him.
It looks like the fiancé's off the hook.
Yeah, and we've got a cab driver out there preying on young women.
Lucy down to her flat.
Yeah, he pinned me up against that wall. I mean, if it hadn't been for that car horn.
Well, if we ever find the driver, you can thank him.
Yeah, well, why don't we get the Socos down there, right? Because he might have dropped something.
I heard that blood expert from work died. Do you think it's the same bloke?
Could be. Listen, you said you'd lost your keys. Do you think they were in your bag?
Yeah, definitely. I was just all fingers and thumbs. Oh, God, what do you think he's got then?
Well, you might want to stay somewhere else tonight. Call a friend. Just until you've had the locks changed.
Okay. I don't really know who, though. I've only been in London a few weeks.
Okay. We'll sort something.
MIU HQ, Thursday 4th. Ronnie and Sam in Chandler's office.
Both girls are employed at the Forensic Services Lab. They both get into minicabs from work. I mean, if it isn't the same bloke, it's one hell of a coincidence.
There's no evidence that Kelly Mann was sexually attacked.
Yeah, but Kelly fought back. I mean, it could be that she got him so riled that he lost control and killed her.
That's possible.
Yes, Casey. Yeah, I'll be down in 2 seconds. Okay. Lucy's remembered something else.
She's downstairs. I thought you took her home last night.
Well, she couldn't get in. The bloke who attacked her took her keys.
So she crashed in the soft room.
What's wrong with the hotel?
She didn't feel safe on her own. It was only for one night.
I hope so. We're not running a B&B.
Ronnie and Sam with Lucy in the sofa room.
There was one of those beaded cushions on the front seat of his cab, and he must have been wearing a leather jacket because I could hear it sort of squeaking against the beads when he moved.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you, Lucy.
Thanks for letting me stay, Detective.
That's no problem. And it's Sam.
Lucy and Sam share a warm smile before he follows Ronnie out into the corridor.
First name terms.
Hey?
Ronnie points back towards the door with a frown.
What? She's one of us.
One of us? She works in payroll.
Yeah, for forensic services.
She's a victim, Sam. Even if she's blessed in the looks department.
Really? I hadn't noticed.
Sam walks away.
Not much.
I'll get the warrant for the taxi driver, shall I?
Carl Lucas, the cabbie, stands beside his dark green saloon taxi reading a newspaper on a busy street. He spreads the paper out on the roof as Sam, Ronnie and two uniformed officers round the corner. On seeing them, Lucas sprints away. Sam and the uniforms give chase. Lucas turns down an alley and scrambles over dumpsters. Jumping down, he twists his ankle. Sam scrambles round the bins. He cuffs Lucas.
Carl Lucas, I'm arresting you on suspicion of murder, robbery, and attempted rape.
What?
You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defense if you do not mention one question, something which you later will learn in court. Anything you do say, you'll be given in evidence.
Ronnie watches the two coppers haul Lucas up.
This cab's going to forensic services.
Orange paint, right shoe.
So are his trainers.
I swear to God, man, she got out of my cab and that was the last time I saw her.
Yeah, just like you never saw Kelly Mann after she got out of your cab.
Oh, that's the truth.
So why did you run?
Straight up? My cousin gave me a load of iPads last night.
What? Nicked, I take it?
They're in the boot of my cab. I thought you were after them.
You've been inside, Carl?
You know I have.
2 years, GBH?
Yeah, that's right.
And your DNA was all over the bloke you punched?
The bloke inserted my girl. I knocked him once, walked away, and next thing I know, I got old Bill banging on my door.
But it was the blood on your clothes that got you convicted, no?
Yeah. But what's any of this got to do with those girls?
Well, we think that you've got a grudge against women who work in forensic services.
You're joking, right?
No. I mean, 2 years to sit in jail and stew over whose fault it was that you were sitting in that cell.
Look, I know whose fault it was. It was mine. And the drink.
What, not Kelly Marnes, not Lucy Kennard's, not any other woman working for forensic services, just unlucky enough to get in your cab?
Lucy stands beside Sam in a gloomy room facing a large window looking in on a narrow, starkly lit chamber. Several men matching Lucas's description file in and line up holding number cards under the bright lights. Lucas stands impassively holding a card marked 2 beside the first man who led the line in. Sam glances at Lucy as her eyes flit across the suspects. Alicia and Yvette stand behind them.
She clearly doesn't recognise any of them.
Alicia shoots Yvette a withering look to Lucy.
Take as long as you need, Lucy.
Sam watches Lucy's eyes rove across the men behind the glass.
I'm sorry. I didn't realise it would be this scary.
Lucy reaches and takes hold of Sam's hand at his side next to her. He glances down, then looks at her in profile.
It's okay. They can't see you.
Sam smiles. Lucy turns her head back towards the window. Standing behind, Yvette looks at them holding hands.
It's number 2.
Lucas stares blankly.
That's the man that attacked me.
Sam nods as she keeps her eyes fixed on the lineup. He looks down with a rueful smile as she squeezes his hand again. Lucy sits in Sam's chair behind Ronnie. Sam sits on his desk.
It really freaked me out seeing him again.
Well, he's in one of our cells now, so he's not going to hurt you.
I still haven't been home yet. A bit spooked about getting a cab, I guess.
Well, that's understandable. I'll get someone to give you a lift.
Sam picks up his desk phone.
Do you know what? It's practically on my way, so I'm on your home.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Ronnie straightens up as she stands.
Thanks for everything.
You're welcome.
Ronnie peers over his glasses and shakes his head as he watches Sam and Lucy walk out together. Lucy and Sam get out of his car outside her flat in the dark.
I shouldn't even be here. I was supposed to be on a plane to Tokyo this morning visiting my little sister.
Was she love out there?
No, she's just travelling, but she's been away for 18 months and I always said I'd meet her in Japan. I always wanted to go there anyway, so...
Ah, you should. It's an amazing country.
Have you been?
Yeah. Not that I saw much of it. I spent most of my time partying in Shinjuku.
You don't strike me as the clubbing type.
What, you think coppers can't have a bit of fun?
No.
It was before I joined the force. I was just a kid.
She turns to face him.
So, it wouldn't be against the rules to ask him for a drink then. I mean, you know, I'd probably feel a lot safer if you came and checked the place out.
Yeah. I'm really not supposed to.
With an impish grin, Lucy turns and walks down the steps to the front door of her basement flat, leaving Sam blinking, eyebrows raised. After a moment, he follows her down. In her kitchen...
The best bit for me was heading out of the city. There's this temple in Kamakura with a Buddha, and it's 13 metres high. People leave offerings at his feet. I mean, Tokyo is great, it's a head rush, but I don't know, life was just so still there. Like it just stopped. I had this feeling that I'd been there before.
He sips red wine.
What, like in another life?
Sounds stupid, doesn't it?
No.
I don't know, I just felt peaceful somehow.
You make it so easy.
Make what easy?
Well, you let people in, don't you? Most men are so shut down.
She walks through to the lounge with an embittered look. He follows as she sits on the sofa.
You know, it's hard to imagine what it's like out there now. A tsunami hits and your home, your business, your whole life swept away in seconds.
He sits close beside her on the large sofa.
I guess we all live on tectonic plates of one kind or another. Something shifts and, okay, not as big as an earthquake, but you feel it all slipping away.
You really scared you, didn't you?
I thought it was going to kill me, Sam.
Lucy levels a grave look at him. He drops his gaze down at her hand on his leg, then takes her fingers in his. They both stare down at their hands, blinking for a moment. Lucy leans closer towards his face. As she does so, Sam brings his hand up over his eyes.
Sorry, I should go.
No, please don't.
Laying a hand on his shoulder, she pushes Sam back gently. As his eyes rise to meet hers, they kiss. kiss passionately. Sam reaches his hands up into her hair. Ron is working on his PC at his desk as Sam strolls into the office and hangs up his coat behind Ronnie. As Sam sits at his desk, Ronnie turns and eyes him warily.
Yesterday's clothes.
You should be a copper.
We've got textbook evidence here, son. Don't mess it up.
I know what I'm doing.
Really? Well, you've forgotten what they taught you at Hendon, have you? Rule one, never get personally involved with a victim.
Yeah, because you never got personally involved in a case, did you?
Sam shakes his head.
Well, I tell you what, Sam. I never slept with the only witness. You're making a mistake, mate.
Just leave me alone, Ronnie. Look, I never had a dad. Don't need one now.
Crown versus Lucas. Plea and case management hearing, April 15th. Yvette addresses court in her gown and wig.
My client has no reason to abscond. He's perfectly happy to surrender his passport.
He may well be, Miss Dyer, but we're talking about a violent, unprovoked knife attack and an attempted rape.
Not to mention the two women he attacked work for forensic services. If he's bold enough to attack police staff, who knows what else he's capable of?
Quite. I think we'll all sleep a little sounder if I remand the defendant in custody.
All rise.
Lucas looks round at Yvette as the judge walks out. The bailiff leads Lucas away as Yvette walks to Jake.
I get the idea excluded and your case falls apart.
Good luck with that.
You think I don't have grounds?
Yvette eyes Alicia. Alicia leaves with Jake.
What are her grounds?
Absolutely no idea until she puts in an application.
She's probably just trying it on. You know what Yvette's like? She loves a good spa with you.
Certainly natural.
Look, I'll go see Lucy, make sure her ID's watertight.
Alicia's in Lucy's kitchen. Lucy hands her a coffee.
We need to know you're absolutely certain that was the man who attacked you.
I'm certain.
You said in your police statement you only saw his face for a second or two.
No, he held a knife to my throat. I may only have seen his face for a moment, but I'll never forget it.
In court.
There were seven men, and I recognised number two as the man who'd attacked me.
And do you see him in this court now?
That's him.
Lucas puts his face in his hand as Jake sits. Yvette rises.
You were giving your statement until the early hours, and then you grabbed a couple of hours rest in a police soft room, didn't you? So you must have been feeling rather sleepy the next day when you misidentified my client.
No, I would have recognised him if I hadn't slept in a week.
Perhaps you were feeling unwell.
No.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm confused, because you grabbed hold of D.S. Casey's hand, didn't you? Why would you do that?
I was nervous.
In fact, you held his hand right through the entire ID parade.
Yes.
Jake looks at Sam.
Maybe D.S. Casey gave your hand a little squeeze.
I don't recall.
Maybe he squeezed it twice to indicate number two, the defendant.
No, he wouldn't do that. Sam's an honest man.
Sam? Not D.S. Casey.
D.S. Casey is an experienced police officer. To suggest that he would try and influence an ID is preposterous.
I'm sorry, Mr. Thorne. Physical contact between an officer and a witness making an ID is absolutely unacceptable. Miss Dyer, I'm granting your application. The ID parade evidence is excluded.
What the hell were you thinking?
What was I supposed to do? She was terrified.
Do I need to tell you that?
The ID was all we had, Sam.
Look, you can't drop the case.
Of course not, but unless we get some new evidence, we're never going to bring this home.
Is there any word on the forensics?
We're chasing that today.
Without the ID, the defence can reapply for bail. Carl Lucas could be out there looking for his next victim.
Ronnie and Sam follow Chloe into the forensic pathology lab.
Heard what happened in court.
Please tell us you've got something, Chloe.
There weren't any footprints at the scene of Kelly's death, so I wouldn't have expected to find any blood on the sole of Lucas's trainer, but I did find blood. Just here.
So it must have splashed onto his trainers when he stabbed her.
But we didn't find any bloodstained clothing when we searched his place, just assumed he'd got rid of it, so why keep hold of his trainers?
He wouldn't have noticed the blood on the trainer. It's microscopic, but I got enough for a profile and it's a match.
Yeah, but she made me look like a liar.
She was just doing her job. Anyway, you don't have to worry about any of that now. Carl Lucas is going down. We've got forensics proving that he killed Kelly Mann. There's no getting around that. We should be celebrating. What do you fancy? Indian? Thai?
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. You chose last night.
Yeah, but I only chose pizza because I knew that's what you wanted.
Sam follows Lucy out of her kitchen.
Okay, you choose again.
Now, how about we forget about that takeaway?
Let me freshen up.
With a sultry look, she watches him go off to the bathroom. Sam squirts toothpaste on his finger and rubs it on his teeth. Taking a towel from a peg on the back of the door to dry his face after washing it, Sam catches sight of a lacy red negligee hanging from the hook. He lifts it off and looks at the label inside. It reads Anne Summers. Sam's eyes dart in realization. Lucy is undressed in bed as Sam returns with his coat on.
Ronnie just texted, I've got going.
And tomorrow night?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a date.
He kisses and leaves her. Sam sits with Ronnie at a table in a neon-lit cafe.
It's the same night, it's the same size, it's exactly the same as the one bought with the gift card.
You've interrupted my beauty sleep to tell me that. They must have sold hundreds of them.
No, they sold less than 10. They told me it was a new line, that was all the stock they had until next month.
So, we've got Kelly's blood on the cabbie's trainers. That's forensic evidence. We can't argue with that. So, how's that red chemise ended up with Lucy?
Maybe I got her wrong. Maybe the cabbie's telling the truth.
What, you think she's a killer?
No. But she's hiding something.
Okay, guys, I went through the list of all the companies and personnel that had day-to-day contact with the department where Lucy was temping. And the company wage slips are usually posted out to the accountants. But a few months ago, they were collected in person. Lucy Kennard was the temp that packed them up and handed them over.
Who did she hand them to?
Tom Hartson, Kelly Mann's fiancé.
Sam and Ronnie with Alicia facing Tom in a CPS office.
Well, I don't remember.
Really? Well, one of the counter staff at the lab saw you flirting with Lucy.
She came on to me.
Yeah, of course she did.
So you met her at the lab, took a shine to her, then, I don't know what, maybe bought her a present?
No.
A red nightie, bought with your fiancé's gift card.
Well, the gift card was stolen. You told me that.
Oh, come on, Tom. It all makes sense now. You had the hots for Lucy, didn't you? She knocked you back.
You got it right.
Kelly found out that you'd been coming on to her. You got into a fight.
I wasn't coming on to her. I was sleeping with her.
Oh, shut up! What? He's lying through his teeth.
Carry on.
It only happened a few times, but I was ready to give it all up for her. I was going to leave Kelly. Then Lucy's sister Sasha got sick, and it sort of put a dampener on things. She was backpacking around India when she got malaria. She didn't have travel insurance. Lucy needed a couple of grand to pay her medical expenses.
You gave her the money.
I know it was stupid, but Sasha could have died. I couldn't bear to see Lucy so upset.
You took the money from the account.
I told Kelly as soon as I'd done it. She was furious. She guessed that Lucy and I were more than friends.
So, if we ask Lucy, she's going to confirm you're having an affair, is she?
No, we're not anymore. After I gave her the money, she stopped returning my calls.
Hang on. If all this is true, then why didn't you tell us all this before?
I was scared. You don't live life with an alibi in your back pocket expecting to get accused of murder.
So you reckon Lucy Kennard made up the whole accusation against the cabbie?
Yeah, because she was under pressure from Tom Hartson. I mean, he pays her sister's medical expenses and she feels like she owes him one.
So how come she gave such a good description of the cabbie, right down to the paint-spattered trainers?
Maybe Lucy saw him pick up Kelly Mann from work.
No, no. Tom Hartson told her what to say.
You sure you're not getting carried away?
Ronnie looks away as Sam meets Chandler's steely gaze.
She's got a red Anne Summers nightie, just like the one bought with the gift card.
And how would you know that?
Because I saw it in her bathroom.
And what were you doing in her bathroom, Sam?
She invited me in.
To do what exactly? Would you give us a few minutes, Ron?
Mm-hmm. Ronnie walks out ruefully, shutting Chandler's office door behind him.
I could suspend you right now. What the bloody hell were you thinking, Sam?
Chandler walks along the Strand with Sharp drinking coffees.
Are you serious?
He apologises for any embarrassment he's caused.
I should hope so too. I take it he's suspended.
Well, I haven't ruled it out, but before I make that decision, it is possible to use his mistake to our advantage.
I hope you're right, because if this goes wrong, all you'll be doing is giving defence more ammunition to throw at us.
It'll be my neck on the line, Henry.
Lucy and Sam.
You sure I can't tempt you?
No. I need to keep my head clear.
Well, you're not going back to work tonight, are you?
I don't know when I'm going back. I got suspended. My boss found out about me and you, so...
I'm so sorry.
Luce.
No, I never meant for...
Luce, no. Is that your fault?
I feel responsible.
Well, don't. Look, we met in a case. But we could have met at work.
They kiss tenderly.
Listen, I'm thinking about going away. You know, like your sister, just chucking my stuff in a backpack and going.
Wow. What about the case? Who's going to look after me?
Well, Ronnie will. You know, I'm not sure he buys into the cops' theory anyway.
What theory?
They found out about you and Kelly Mann's fiancée meeting at the lab that time, and they reckon that you had some sort of a fling. But don't worry, I put them straight. It's just a coincidence.
Yeah, of course it is.
If there is anything else, though, you can tell me. I mean, I can get Ronnie sorted out, whatever it is.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I mean, if this Tom Hartson bloke tried to make you cover up for him, then... you can tell me the truth.
I told you the truth. It was the cabbie. Why are you doing this?
Because Tom Hartson reckons he gave you $2,000 and that you were having an affair.
I never slept with him.
It's okay. You can tell me the truth.
He's lying.
She's too clever. She's not going to incriminate herself.
Lucy, I wish you'd be honest with me. Just tell me everything. I can help you.
Do you want us to pull it, Gov?
Let's roll out plan B. Bring her in and search the flat.
Lucy Kennard, I'm arresting you on suspicion of perverting the course of justice. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something which you later rely on in court.
Be quiet.
Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
Nice, through there on the back of the door.
Close shoes, bag the lock.
Ronnie holds up a wad of cash.
Gov.
Bag it. You know how to pick them, don't you, Sam?
Sam looks on as Lucy is frog-marched from the flat by uniformed officers.
Are you saying you didn't have an affair with him?
Yeah, that's right. I just found out about my sister Sasha being ill, and he was there and he was really nice, and I told him about her. And he just handed over $2,000.
She never asked for his help. He wanted to.
Out of the kindness of his heart.
But I'm not stupid. Yeah, I know what he wanted. But I took his money because I was desperate. I wouldn't sleep with someone for money, and I wouldn't sleep with a married man.
Tom Hartson wasn't married.
No, but he's engaged, and I'm not like that.
After his fiancée died, he thought the police were going to arrest him, so he begged Lucy to make up a story about the cabbie. He told her what to say about the paint, the trainers.
And you just agreed to commit perjury for him?
I owed him. I mean, he saved my sister's life. I didn't think for a minute that he'd killed Kelly Mart.
What about the red nighting?
Tom sent that to me after I'd given my statement. To say thank you.
Chandler, Jake, Alicia and Sharp.
There's no forensics implicating either of them in the murder. We've been through everything. Their clothes, their shoes, nothing.
Fantastic.
Tom Hartson had a motive. If Kelly found out about the affair, maybe they got into a fight. Easy to see how that could happen.
Well, if she was sleeping with him, Lucy's got motive too. Maybe she wanted Kelly out of the way so she could have Tom all to herself.
It'd all be a lot simpler if D.S. Casey hadn't jumped into bed with her.
You think that's the only problem here? You presented blood evidence implicating the cab driver. Someone had to tell me how Kelly Mann's blood got on his shoes.
Specimen 23, taken from Carl Lucas's trainer, is Kelly Mann's blood.
And you're 100% certain of that?
Chloe in the lab.
Absolutely. Why?
The woman who claimed he attacked her admitted she lied. Kelly's fiancé is the main suspect now.
But the police were... they were so certain it was Lucas.
You and Kelly Mann were close.
Like sisters.
So you get that extra mile to see her killer convicted. If we go to court with this blood evidence, you realise you'll have to go in the witness box to vouch for its credibility.
When the idea was chucked out, I thought it was going to walk.
What did you do, Chloe?
We processed the blood samples from the murder scene. I took blood from one of those samples and... sad that I found it on Lucas's shoe.
You planted the evidence?
Everyone was so sure it was him.
So there's no evidence that Carl Lucas was ever anywhere near Kelly Mann?
I thought he killed my best friend. I didn't want to see him get away with it.
An innocent man's locked up in a police cell and the real murderer is walking free. Do you have any idea the damage you've done?
Chloe told the police Kelly brought Sheet into work. She suspected Tom had another woman in their bed.
What happened to it?
The police had it tested. Came back to two sets of DNA, Tom Hartson's and one unknown female's.
Only now we have DNA from Lucy Kennard's arrest sample.
Forensics retested the sheet. It's positive for Tom Hartson's and Lucy Kennard's DNA.
So she lied, Hartson was telling the truth. They were sleeping together.
Maybe Kelly found out they were having an affair and confronted her with it.
Can't you see what's going on here? Hartson claimed Lucy went cold on him after he gave her the money. She tells him her sister's sick. He hands over $2,000 and suddenly she loses interest in him. Doesn't that sound like a con to you?
Yeah.
So if you're right, she's probably done this before.
A man with Lucy's photo.
Melanie Carter. I met her in this bar we all go to after work.
Her real name's Lucy Kennard. It says in your police report that she took you for $5,000.
She told me her sister was an aid worker in Mozambique, that she got sick. A few days later, she turned up in tears, said her sister had died. She couldn't afford to fly her body home to bury her. When I first met her, she told me I made it easy.
Sam stops in his tracks.
I thought she meant easy for her to fall for me. Now I know what she meant. Easy for her to con me.
We might need you to give evidence.
Of course. Anything I can do to help you get her.
Thank you.
You know, I got a call a couple of months back. Some woman wanted to talk to me about Melanie. Said she worked for the police. In forensics, I think. I called back, left a message. Never heard from her again. Her name was Kerry something.
Kelly Mann?
Yeah, that's it.
Sam nods with raised eyebrows. He and Alicia turn and walk on, leaving the man to cross the street.
Don't say it.
Shoe Lane, City of London, WC2. Alicia sits next to Jake as he eats on a street bench.
There are three more reports. She used a different name every time, but the con's the same. My sister's dying, she's overseas, I need money to help her.
We need to find out if Lucy Kennard even has a sister.
We need to get Lucas out of jail. Ramp up the charges against Lucy Kennard to murder. Could we call Ronnie to give the police evidence?
Gugh, if only. Sam found the crucial piece of evidence, so we're officially screwed on that one.
Sam's on the witness stand.
I found a red nightie in the defendant's bathroom that matched the one bought with the card that was stolen from Kelly Mann's bag the night she was murdered.
Were you involved in a personal relationship with the defendant?
I was. We had a brief relationship which ended as soon as I started to suspect that she was involved in Kelly Mann's murder.
Eli Smart rises.
Before you arrested my client, didn't you have another suspect, the cab driver?
Yes, but only because Lucy Kennard falsely accused him.
Oh, I thought there was blood evidence linking him to the crime scene.
That turned out to be fabricated.
By who exactly?
A scientist working in the police forensics lab.
So essentially the police framed an innocent man, and when the case fell apart, you went looking for another innocent person to take the fall, didn't you?
No, that's not right.
Isn't that why you seduced my client?
She invited me in.
You volunteered to take her home, gained access to her flat, then planted evidence, didn't you?
No, of course I didn't.
You're the one that put the nightie in the bathroom, aren't you?
That's ridiculous.
Well, we're hardly going to believe you now, are we, DS Casey? I mean, how can we trust a police officer who has sex with a victim?
She was not a victim.
Well, you certainly thought she was at the time.
Yes, I did.
So how can we believe a single word that comes out from your mouth?
Well, after Kelly died, Tom told me about the cabbie. Tom reckoned he was obsessed with Kelly. And he asked me to make up the story about being attacked so the police would investigate the driver. You know, I only did it because Tom had been so nice to me and I thought I was helping to catch the real killer.
What happened after you made these false allegations?
I met D.S. Casey and he was so kind. And well, at the ID parade, I was really nervous and I took his hand for reassurance and I felt him squeeze it, but I just thought he was trying to comfort me.
Thank you, Lucy. Nothing more, my lord.
Eli sits as Jake rises to question Lucy.
You have a sister, don't you?
Yes.
You told the police that she is very ill and that Tom Hartson gave you some money to pay her medical bills abroad.
Yes, that's right. She's been very sick.
But you told Jeremy Barton your sister had died. In fact, he paid for the funeral, didn't he?
I've never heard of Jeremy Barton.
James Bailey from Manchester, Greg Donoghue from Kent, Lee Marchant from London also paid for your sister's funeral expenses, didn't they? So your sister, Is she dead or just very ill?
She was ill. She died.
Miss Kennard, would you please stand?
I am standing.
I wasn't speaking to you.
Jake turns and points across at a dark-haired woman who stands in the gallery.
Is this your dead sister?
My lord, are you going to let the Crown continue with these amateur dramatics?
Sit down, Mr. Smart. I, for one, would like to hear the answer.
This is your sister, Sasha. Well, yes or no?
Lucy purses her lips bitterly and trembles, narrowing her eyes.
Yes.
Thank you. You may sit down. It's quite a story, isn't it? A story you spun to four men who came forward, though I imagine there are many more, too embarrassed. A story you have told time and time again in order to extort money. Only Kelly Mahon found out what you're up to, didn't she? And in order to protect yourself, you killed her, didn't you?
Lucy regards Jake haughtily.
Didn't you?
You must answer the question, Miss Kennard.
She rounds on the judge.
Why are you letting him do this to me? You said you'd help.
Excuse me.
He said he'd help me if I slept with him. He gave me his word.
Counsel, my chambers. Now.
Eli, Jake, and Alicia with the judge.
I had no idea she was going to play a stunt like that, my lord.
I must recuse myself from this trial immediately.
So she can do the same to the next judge?
And the one after that?
You want to continue?
I'm not sure we have a choice. This woman has manipulated every man she had something to gain from. You cannot allow her to do the same thing to you.
One more stunt from your client, Mr. Smart, and I will have to discharge the jury. Are we clear?
Christoph.
Back in court, the judge addresses the jury.
The defendant's last remarks will be disregarded. Miss Kennard, I must warn you that you are under oath. Proceed, Mr. Thorne.
Miss Kennard, has any officer of the court made promises to you in return for sexual favours?
Yes. The judge. He said he'd make sure I didn't go to prison as long as I had sex with him.
When did this happen?
Earlier today.
What time?
I'm not sure exactly.
But you were brought to the court directly from the cells at the start of today's proceedings, so was this a separate visit earlier today?
Yes.
So the court security staff conspired with him, did they?
I wouldn't know that.
And the judge's clerk, he must have been involved in all this. They all conspired so Judge Gunner could get you on his own and offer you favours in return for sex. You actually expect us to believe this?
Men don't always think with their heads.
So they do anything, right? Like Tom Hartson cheating on his fiancée.
Yeah.
Or D.S. Casey breaking his oath and sleeping with a victim.
Exactly.
And the other men that gave you money, because men are all after one thing, right?
He said it.
And that makes them fair game.
You all think we're pieces of meat, and you leer at us on the street. You touch us up on the tube and think we like it. You think you can just pick us up and put us down when it suits you, cheat on us, treat us like shit. I just turned the tables, I took control.
Made men pay.
I made you all pay.
She nods emphatically.
I mean, you should be thanking me.
Only you made Kelly Mahon pay too, didn't you? You made her pay with her life. By stabbing her repeatedly in the chest. Not once, not twice, but 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Then you left her, bleeding, dying, in her flat, a month from her wedding.
Tom bulks in the gallery.
So much for sisterhood.
Lucy trembles as tears well in her eyes. The jury foreman stands.
On the charge of murder, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
You have been found guilty of murder, and there's only one sentence I may pass, and that is life imprisonment. I'm setting a minimum tariff of 15 years. Take her down.
Listening glassy-eyed in the dock, Lucy stares as the judge passes sentence, then turns and glances over her shoulder at Sam in the gallery. As the bailiff leads her away, Sam stares into space. Alone at a bar, Sam knocks back the dregs of a pint of lager and gulps it down. Ronnie steps up beside him.
You know, women like her try it on because they think we're stupid. Another one of those, love, please, and an honest use if I may.
No problem.
Thank you. Problem is, they're right.
Sam mirrors Ronnie's smile, then hangs his head and shakes it. Jake finds Alicia kneeling amid scattered paperwork on the office floor.
Just in. DV case. Wife reported her husband for violence against her and the kids 7 times. Even had an injunction to stop him coming near the house.
Which I take it he ignored?
Okay. Previous police reports.
You two should be in the pub with a bottle of something fizzy.
Well, there's Diet Coke in the vending machine if we get desperate.
You had a good result today. I can wait until the morning.
Sharp turns and walks out, leaving Alicia and Jake kneeling side by side. They look at each other and nod. Files slam down on desks. They pull on their coats. Alicia pulls back a silver ball on a Newton's cradle. Alicia turns out the light. ITFC audio description. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental.